there's not a requirement that you take this class to get that baptized. There's other avenues in there. And it's not a requirement that if you do take this class, you have to be baptized. And it doesn't mean you have to be baptized on March 7th. We're actually looking at a fallback date, as well as we have like an overflow of a lot of need for a lot of baptisms. So you don't have to. This is just to inform you if you just kind of begin that journey, okay? So no pressure. I mean, one thing about what makes us Credo Baptist is we believe that faith precedes baptism. Nobody is baptized against their will, you know, like those babies. Did you guys ever see the dunking, the Romanian Orthodox dunking videos? Yeah. You feel bad for those children. In fact, I wish I could bring it up online, because it's actually quite funny in a tragic way. So, your choice. But if you do decide that you want to be baptized and you want to kind of go forward with it, we have a sign-up sheet right here. And so I'll just pass this along, okay? Don't look at names or judge people who are not on there. So you can just kind of sign up, put it on there, and it'll be at the information desk too. And so what we ask people to do to get ready for baptism is you need to submit your testimony. And what the testimony does is, you know, remember, what's the point of baptism? Right? We do it out of obedience to Christ. It identifies you with Christ, identifies you with the church, and really it's a public statement that I stand with Jesus now, right? I stand with Christ. And that's one of the things that a testimony does, is it reveals how you came to this point, came to this decision where you want to stand with Jesus, you want to identify with him by being baptized in his name. Okay, so we ask everyone to just produce a testimony, and if you don't know how to do that, this class is dedicated towards that end. Okay, we're going to help you walk through how to prepare a testimony. And then clothes to be baptized, a swim suit or a swimsuit, whatever you want. Wear a swimsuit. We recommend a dark shirt over it and some shorts. And we have I'm not sure, have you guys ever seen our new baptismal? You've seen it, mm-hmm. Right? Did you do anything to it?
No, I asked Tyson why he didn't get the ones with jets in it, though.
I know, because like, sometimes my back hurts, yeah. You know, and I just think, wouldn't it be nice to be able to get that? So what we're going to do is we're going to roll it in front of the church, and that Sunday I'm going to give like a 5 to 10 minute, well, I'll try to contain myself, teaching on baptism, and then we will commence with the dunking. And so we'll have you guys all kind of sitting in the front row. We're going to provide towels for you and some robes. So you'll go up, you'll give your testimony while you're in the water, and then you will be dunked, and then we'll give you like a robe, and you can sit and watch the rest of the baptisms, or you can go into the changing room, the bathrooms, and change back into your normal clothes. So that's the procedure. And then, let's see, we have church will provide towels and a robe for you to have after you've been baptized, and we'll have chairs for you. Okay. So any questions about that? So again, we're passing that sheet around. If you want to sign up now, you can. Or it'll be at the information desk. But I would imagine, because we have a lot of people who are in the youth group, we'll probably have a couple Wednesday nights where afterwards the elders will kind of come and maybe talk to you guys and talk through your decision to be baptized. I mean, if you are technically a child at home, we would want to make sure that your parents are okay with that and kind of agree with that decision. Okay, questions? So now we're going to talk about the scary part of baptism, right? Why are a lot of people scared of being baptized at our church? Go ahead and say it. Public speaking, right? I have heard that public speaking, some people have a greater fear of public speaking than death, right? And you think about it, you know, all eyes are going to be upon you. You'll be speaking into a microphone. And so why do we do it? You know, is it required to have a testimony when you get baptized? Well, it's required to have a testimony in the sense that you've been changed, right? But this is the friendliest audience you will ever have. And I even think that developing a testimony is a very important tool in your tool belt, evangelistically speaking, right? I mean, why do people, do you guys enjoy listening to testimonies, right? Why is listening to a testimony so enjoyable? I will be silent until I get an answer to my question. So I'm just letting you all know, this could be awkward. Why is listening to a testimony so enjoyable?
Just evidence of God's word itself.
Yeah.
It's encouraging.
Yeah, for sure. Other thoughts? Why is a testimony so, why are we kind of drawn to the testimony?
I think everybody just likes stories in general, you know.
Uh-huh.
You like this story and to hear their life story is always mm-hmm. interesting.
Yeah. I mean, we've had some wonderful testimonies here. I mean, it's just a reminder that, you know, Jesus is not this, you know, faraway person. He's somebody who actually has transformed people's lives. And you see how the gospel impacts different people with different backgrounds, different stories. I even think evangelistically, I have found that the testimony is just a great way of sharing your faith. Right? Instead of going into the gospel, you basically share your story with them. You know what? I tell people, and I'll give you my testimony a little bit later on, that I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I actually became a Christian in college. Really? And you're a pastor now. How did that happen? Right? So we have kind of connecting the dots and kind of drawing people in. And so from an evangelistic perspective, having a testimony, in fact, George was kind enough to give me this book here, straight from the early 90s, I guess. Is that right? 1987, this was published, right? So this is an antique. It's an antique. But it talks, it basically is a discipleship training thing about how to, you know, walk with the Lord, how to equip you for ministry. And session 7 is how to prepare a testimony. It's not even in the context of baptism. I know Becky and I, we're involved in Campus Crusade. And one thing that they really try to train you on is to have a 3 to 5 minute testimony ready to go, boom, on the moment, okay? So part of what we're doing today is we're actually equipping you guys so that, you know, when you have a chance to, maybe somebody asks you what's different in your life, what does it mean to be a Christian, you have a 3 to 5 minute testimony to share. Yeah, the second reason for it is I think it's good to think through your testimony and think through your history because it's a reminder of what the Lord has done in your life, right? I think it's really encouraging to kind of go back. This is how the Lord moved me, how he changed me, how he shaped me. It's a unique opportunity to broadcast that to other people. In fact, I want to kind of point out one of the most famous testimonies that we have is in Acts 26, which is actually, and it's interesting, when Paul shares the gospel with people, he often does it in the form of his testimony. He testifies about what the Lord has done in his life. And I want you to notice there's actually there's actually a pattern here where Paul, I'll give you a brief outline. He does a lead-in in verses 2 and 3, kind of warms up his audience. Then he talks about his life before Christ in 4 through 11. He talks about how, you could say, he met Christ in 12 through 20. His life after, then his close, like kind of a call to the gospel. So just keep that in mind, okay? So Agrippa said to Paul, "You have permission to speak for yourself." Then Paul stretched out his hands and made his defense. "I consider myself fortunate that it is before you, King Agrippa, that I am going to make a defense today against the accusations of the Jews, especially because you are familiar with all the customs and controversies of the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently." Now he talks about his life before Christ. "My manner of life from my youth, spent from the beginning among my own nation and in Jerusalem, is known by all the Jews. They have known for a long time, if they are willing to testify, that according to the strictest party of our religion, I have lived as a Pharisee. And now I stand here on trial because of my hope in the promise made by God to our fathers, to which our 12 tribes hope to attain as they earnestly worship night and day. And for this hope I am accused by the Jews, O king. Why is it thought incredible by any of you that God raises the dead? I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things in opposing the same Jesus of Nazareth. And I did so in Jerusalem. I not only locked up many of the saints in prison after receiving authority from the chief priest, but when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in all the synagogues and tried to make them blaspheme. And in a raging fury against them, I persecuted them even to the foreign city. So his life before Christ, right? Then he transitions to how he became a Christian, how he met Christ. In this connection, I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priest. At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, that shone around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Is it hard for you to kick against the goads? And I said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and a witness to the things in which you have seen me, and to the things in which you have seen me, and to those in which I appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles, whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So now he keeps on going to the after. Therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all the region of Judea, and to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance. For this reason, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. To this day, I have had the help that comes from God, and so I stand here testifying, there's the testimony, right? Both to small and great, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses said would come to pass, that the Christ must suffer, and that by being the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light to both our people and to the Gentiles. And then he goes on to really press him to convert. Okay, so you kind of see the basic framework of a testimony, okay? So when we talk about a testimony, it's testifying about what the Lord has done in your life. And it's going to look different for different people, okay? So here's some general directions. I don't want to skip this. This is on page 7. When you turn in your testimony, we want them typed. I know some of you might have beautiful penmanship, but for those who don't, please type it. And plus, it's easier to edit it if you type it. Testimonies of this nature are not intended to... Oh yeah, one to two pages, double-spaced. You want it to be about 5 minutes in length. Testimonies of this nature are not intended to convey your entire life story, but rather key elements of your conversion. Okay, so we don't need to know about the time your dog died and how God really helped you through that. We want to know more about what events led to your conversion. And they should be written in the way that you plan on presenting them in your baptism. Okay? So how do you write your testimony? How do you structure it? Okay? Well, again, you have the basic framework of before I was a Christian, what led to my conversion, and how my life has changed after. Okay? So before the conversion, then after. So you can think about my life before I trusted Christ. Right? And the purpose of this section is not to glorify your sinful past. It's simply to help you understand, people understand the state of your life before Christ. Okay, so you don't need to go into And I think this is a temptation for people with like wild stories, is to really go on about all the dirt in your life before Christ, about how was it that you became a Hell's Angel? You know, when did you get that tattoo? When was the first time you tried meth? And what were all the different drugs that you tried? You know what I'm saying? So people can go into all these lurid details, and there's something in human nature that can be drawn to that darkness, right? If you kind of make that the feature point, people might be drawn to the testimony for the wrong reasons. Does that make sense? But it's just like, what were some things, you know, that characterized your life that showed you your need for a Savior? Okay? You know, what ultimately caused you to be broken over your sin and consider eternal things? So, I talk about the direction of your life, avoid graphic details about the past. But what was it? Was it a conversation that you had? Was it a sin that was discovered? You know, was it going through just some tragedy that caused you to reevaluate your life? And I know this might be hard for those of you who kind of grew up in the church, right? Where you kind of look at it and you think, well, I honestly don't know when I wasn't a Christian, right? I know theoretically I wasn't born a Christian, but I don't really know when I wasn't a Christian. And I think that would be a time where we're thinking about when you became acutely, you know, what were some things that caused you to be aware of your need for the gospel? Because frankly, even if you are a Christian, you still need the gospel, right? So what were some things, some patterns, some things that you struggle with, maybe even that you still struggle with, that kind of always prompted your need for the gospel? Like, you never rejected it, but what caused you to really kind of draw closer to it? Any questions about that? Yeah.
I think also for people who grew up in the church, that question would be, what was it that made you very aware that now you know you're a Christian?
Yeah. Yeah, what kind of caused you to think? Because I think everybody who grew up in the church is like, am I a Christian, not a Christian? Why were you tormented over that for so long, right? And then, you know, what brought you to a point where you are, I'm planting my flag, I know I'm a Christian, I'm assured of it, I want to make that statement. Do you know what I'm saying? So walk us through that journey. What were some conversations that you had? What were some struggles that you had? Why were you kind of waffling back and forth? Because I think that could be said of everyone here, right? I mean, I see people who waited for a while before they got baptized. So what brought it to that point? And this is where maybe your parents could help you out. I grew up in church, or somebody else can help you out. But what we're going to do, because we're going to have some extra time, I'll have you guys kind of break up into some groups and just kind of talk out that issue, right? So what kind of brought you to the point where now I know I'm a Christian or I want to become a Christian? And then talk about how I came to faith in Christ. And this is something where you kind of explain the gospel, right? When and how did you become aware of the person and work of Christ? There's somebody who grew up in the church, it's like, oh, I've always kind of knew the gospel. I never disbelieved it, but when I really thought about it, and I thought about how Jesus, that I really was a sinner, even though I grew up in a Christian home, or I knew I was a sinner, and I was really lost. And then you talk about what Jesus did. And that's when I understood that Jesus died on the cross, that he paid for our sins, that when you place your faith in him and follow him as Lord, that's when you have eternal life. And that's a very key component of the testimony, right? You can tell all this story about, you were a broken man, you had a girlfriend dump you, and you were down on your luck, you know, turned into alcohol, then you went to church and everything changed, right? What's the matter with that testimony? It could be true that you went to church and everything changed, but what's the matter with that testimony? Yeah.
Because just going to church, I mean, anybody can walk into church, but yeah, that doesn't change their heart.
That's right. So when you have a testimony, what needs to be featured?
How you became a Christian.
How you became a Christian, and specifically, what you understood about Jesus. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when I'm looking at testimonies, what I am looking for are clear statements where this person understands the gospel and that has worked its way into the testimony. Okay, does that make sense? So that is the most critical part. Like, if you're going to share this with your friends or whatever, that needs to be there. And then you can talk about how your life has changed, right? How has Jesus changed your life? What have you noticed different in your life? And it could be internal, it could be external. It could be external, like I stopped drinking. It could be internal. I'm not really scared of death. I understand what to do with my anxiety now. I found a lot of comfort during some very tough times that went on in my life after I became a Christian, right? Sometimes you become a Christian and life tragedy happens and you're able to, draw upon that. So you might want to give a testimony about that. Okay? And so I think depending on where you are, if you've lived most of your life as a Christian, you might have to have some stories about how Christ helped you, and the gospel being a Christian, help you navigate this difficult circumstance in your life afterwards. Okay? But the gospel needs to be there. Okay? Any questions? Comments? And so here is a list from my helpful little resource thing about things to avoid. I'll share these with you. One, make it sound conversational. This is not a literary piece. Share, don't preach. Say I and me, not you. This kind of helps keep the testimony warm and personal. Avoid religious words and phrases and jargon. Okay? So instead of saying believe and accepted Christ, you say trusted or relied on Christ for my salvation. Instead of saying went forward, people don't know what went forward means. Say decided to turn my life over to God. Instead of saying something like under the blood, God forgave the wrongs I have done. When you talk about being born again, you might want to say became a real Christian. So just make sure that some of the Christianese is explained if you use it. I would say, don't bag on other churches in your testimony. You can't say, I went to this church by name, and I never heard the gospel there, right? And I didn't start growing until I went to this church. So it's not the time to kind of bag on churches. It's really time to, and you shouldn't do that anyway. It's time to celebrate what Christ has done. Be careful in saying, like, God spoke to me. And some of those languages, it can kind of give the wrong impression. God does speak to you through his word. We'll talk about that. And I'd say the other thing is, try to reduce clutter in your testimony. The life story doesn't have to include everything. You don't have to get the story just right. You can generalize things. Give the sense of the conversation instead of trying to get it. He said this, then I said this, then he said this. Does that make sense? And so again, you go the before, the how, and the after. And I have if you want some inspiration, you can make kind of a line graph of your life. Starting here, I had a very happy childhood. Then I went to junior high and I was picked on, and that was very difficult for me. Started getting involved in some activities and sports in high school. Then I went to a summer camp and heard the gospel, right? And then my mother died shortly thereafter, and that was a very difficult time in my life. So you can kind of do what I call the line graph technique, where you kind of just relive your life story, kind of trigger some memories. If you guys have anybody journal in here? Yeah, if you have some old journals, it might be interesting to kind of go back there and just see if that kind of jogs your memory. Having a conversation with somebody about it, how would you break it down? The who, the before, what happened, then the after. And so here's a sample testimony. This is my testimony, so I'll read this to you. I'm not sure if you guys heard it or not, but, and point three and point nine is, go back to your pre-Christian self. What would you say to your pre-Christian self? I'd have a lot of things to say to my pre-Christian self, like, be a Christian. But what would you say? So growing up, I could be described as a good kid. Never messed around with girls, drank, or smoked. And part of the reason for this was my parents' commitment to raising me right. But I also had some inner motivation. I remember choosing not to drink because I wanted people to love and appreciate me for who I am when I'm sober. Essentially, being good seemed to serve my purposes at the time. I believe in God as we would occasionally attend church. However, church membership was never encouraged because they would want our money. And what developed was a mentality that a little religion is good, but too much will turn you into a Jesus freak. That mentality started to change when my sister became a Jesus freak her senior year of high school. She went off to a Christian camp and she returned a different person. And at first I was confused by the sudden change, and yet the more I looked at her life, I noticed genuine change as she confessed various sins that put her life in danger. After getting over the shock of my sister's sins, I began to reflect that Jesus saved her life. And my sister invited me to go to the same Christian camp I volunteered to go, since her changed life charged my curiosity. It was at the camp that I learned some very interesting... So that was the before, right? And what led me to the event. It was at the camp that I learned some very interesting information about God. I learned that God created me, therefore I'm rightfully his possession. The speaker also shared from the Bible that God knows all things, even my thoughts. I consented to this as well. Then he told me something that frightened me, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and I learned that I have rebelled against God's statutes and laws. He explained that even when we just think bad thoughts, we're sinning against God. For instance, when I was angry, God viewed that as murder. When I lusted, God viewed that as adultery. I went from seeing myself as basically a good kid to a wicked sinner, one who has rebelled against God. And even though on the exterior I may have seemed to have my life relatively sin-free, I knew my thoughts were displeasing to God. Further, I realized that God would be justified in punishing me, since the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Further, they told me that Christ suffered eternal punishment in my place. Though I understood that basic message, my life was relatively unaffected by it. True change did not occur until college, when I learned how to apply the information. After pondering the parting ways of college freshmen, I took my sister's advice and decided to get involved in a Christian group. When I went to their meetings, I was impressed at the genuine love they had for me as well as others who attended. I recall a girl on our floor that the rest of the freshmen would mock and ridicule because she acted a little strange. She and I were invited to on a retreat, and I was amazed at the contrast. While my dorm floor harassed and belittled her, these Christians served and loved her. I was amazed at how their love for God manifested itself in other people. And after spending several months in this group, I noticed that there was a difference between how they related to God and how I did. And I understood that Christ died for my sins. I did not know what it meant to give my life to him. They explained to me that they had given their lives completely to Christ. So one night I surrendered to God, and my life has never been the same. God took me up on my unconditional terms of surrender and changed the direction of my life. Over a period of time, I went from focusing on my own personal ambitions to God's ambitions for my life and the world. God changed my life since I gave him my life to change. So that's my testimony, my story. But you can kind of see how there's a lot more of the before, and then getting into how I changed, and then an affirmation of how God has changed me since. If I were to rewrite, I guess I can lengthen that part too. But yeah, that would be the basic structure of a testimony. Okay, so what we're going to do is, for the next 15 minutes, find a group, two or three. And I want you to maybe just kind of take turns, like your life before. Both of you guys take turns sharing that. Then what led you to become a Christian, and then talk about your life after, okay? So go ahead and group up. I'm going to pace it with 5-minute increments, okay? So for the first 5 minutes, take turns talking about your life before, and then kind of move on from there. And I'll be available as a resource for anybody who wants to talk. Okay, hopefully that was a good start for you guys. So I see a lot of sign-ups, which is great. So I would encourage you, if you have signed up, start working on your baptism ASAP. I'm saying, so hopefully, was it good to kind of talk these things out and kind of get the gears kind of slowly turning? Think about it, ponder it, talk about it with parents or with a friend or with a spouse. I don't have a problem if somebody helps you write the baptism, do your testimony. I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem if they write it for you and say, read it, right? But if you need some help, this is not a time where, this is not an English class where you're graded on your writing ability. It's your story, right? It's your story. So just make sure that the story is there. And then, Brandon and I, we had a good talk too about just making sure that you do have a clear gospel presentation. If you grow up in the church, the gospel is like part of the air that you breathe, right? You've always heard it. You've always understood it. So find a point in your testimony where we could say, you know what, this is when I really understood what the gospel has to say about this. And then you bring it out, right? How Jesus died, you know, you're a sinner. Jesus died for you. He took your punishment in his place. And now you are, you know that you are saved by grace, through faith, by believing in him and following him. Okay, just a clear statement where Jesus fits into it. So if you need some literary help, you know, get some help. If you need somebody to help articulate your thoughts and organize it, get some help. There's nothing wrong with it. Just make sure it's your story, right? And that's what happened to you. Okay, so any questions about that? Okay. Well, we will go ahead and wrap it up so that we can kind of vacate the premises, make the long, cold walk down to the other building. And as you walk to the other building, think about how nice it's going to be to have a new building where we won't have to do that anymore. So let me pray, and then I'll let you guys go. Well, Father, I do thank you for just all the brothers and sisters here who are thinking about getting baptized. And I pray as they walk through this journey, they will be just encouraged by the work that you've done in their life, and that their testimonies will speak to others and really encourage them. We thank you for just the time spent. We look forward to more opportunities to worship you today. In Jesus' name, amen.